morning, saints, again. Good. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Mark, not Matthew 13. This is the one parable of the kingdom that is not in Matthew and Mark together. It's only in Mark. So Mark chapter 4. And we're going to read a really long passage. It's going to take us forever. Mark chapter 4. Verses 26 to 29. Too many bits and pieces. Ah! Okay. Mark 4, verse 26. He also said, and this is Jesus talking to the disciples and the people he's teaching, the kingdom of God is as if, or is like, someone who would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. Told you it was really long, didn't I? Loads. Lots of stuff in there. Good. If you pop up the PowerPoint, good, that'd be great. So, I didn't really know what to call this, so I called it the Growing Kingdom. And you read that parable and you think, okay, that's a nice parable, but what does it mean? Because I read that and I thought, I have no idea what that means. So Jesus speaks of somebody sowing, and then they go to bed, and they get up every day, and the seed sort of... Well, I thought that was funny, the farmer falling asleep on the hay. And then the seed grows, but, you know, farmer doesn't know how. He just knows that if he plants it at the right time, it's going to grow and do what he wants it to do. It has a process of growth, and then when it's ready, they take the sickle. Of course, nowadays we have great big machines that do it in big fields of wheat nowadays. It gets harvested at the right time. And you see, our series is all about having a kingdom mindset. I'll put the brain there for you. Having a kingdom mindset. So in order for us to grasp how we can interpret this parable for our series, we've got to look back to last week and remind ourselves of what we learned about the parable of the sower. Now, we said that a kingdom mindset is best received by hearts that are ready to receive. So, kingdom mindset is harnessed by hearts that are ready to receive. And in this parable, we see that the soil is ready to receive the kingdom, and it grows and bears fruit unto harvest. So the soil is ready, it receives the seed of the kingdom, and it grows and bears fruit. So you've got wheat, for example, at the end of it. So for us, having a kingdom mindset is having a heart that is ready to receive the kingdom, which then allows it to grow within us. Are you with me so far? Okay, good, because it was a bit complicated, but we had to refer to last week in order to understand this week. You can't really understand the parable of the growing seed without understanding what Jesus kind of means through the parable of the sower, because they're kind of intertwined, which is curious why Matthew doesn't include it in his gospel. But that's a discussion for a commentary, not for our purposes today. I just want to draw your attention to a couple of passages of Scripture. The word is the seed of the kingdom, which is near you. It's near all of you. Paul says it in Romans 10:8. The word is near you. It's on your lips and in your hearts, the word of faith that we proclaim. And then Jesus says it in Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled. Repent. The kingdom of God has come near. God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. And then my question for us then is, that's all very good and well, but what does this mean for our lives? What does it actually mean for us on a daily basis? Well, it means four things. It means, firstly, that we have to be prepared to receive the seed of the kingdom. You catch that? We'll talk about that in a minute. Then, when the seed comes to us, we've actually got to receive it. We've got to take it in. And then, it doesn't just stop there, we've got to let it grow. Not like the Frozen song. You remember we had the Frozen clip and there's the song Let It Go? We've let it grow. Sorry, bad pun. Let it grow. And then, when that is harvested, what do we do after that? We sow more seed. So let's look at this. I want to use the farming analogy to help explain this process to us. Very appropriate, given that it's harvest. And the first thing that a farmer will do is prepare the soil. He's going to prepare the soil. Before the farmer sows the seed in the ground, what has to happen first? And a lot of us, we've grown up on farms or we've grown up near farms. We understand that things, and this is my very basic knowledge. But you've got to till and bring up the soil and prepare it and all the rest of it. And I put as many different ways of preparation as I could find in pictures on there, you know. You've got to dig it up, you've got to fork it up, you've got to rotate it with a thing, you know, and then you get it in nice rows, like the bottom picture there. And if needed, you put nutrients in the soil. You've got to prepare the soil for the seed to be prepared of it. And I was learning about wheat. I learned so much about wheat that I want to grow my own wheat and do my own bread and stuff from it. It was quite fascinating, the process that happens to wheat as it grows. In fact, I watched a 9-minute video, a time lapse over 115 days of wheat from the point when it was sown to the point when it grew. It took like 9 minutes, every half an hour it took it. And you could see the wheat growing. And 1 minute, wheat comes up and it's just green leaves. And then one minute, it was just green leaves. And the next minute, there was wheat. The head came out and just, I was like, where did that come from? It was just there. 1 minute it was there, the next minute it wasn't. I was like, whoa, what's going on? It's incredible. But in order for that wheat to grow, it needs soil that's got a balanced nutrition. Unless, of course, you're going to plant corn, it's another thing I learned, in which case you need more nitrogen in the soil. Which is why in the US, when the pilgrims came across and the Indians taught them how to plant corn, they gave them a fish, a dead fish, to put in the soil with the corn because it added nitrogen to the soil. Anyway, we need to prepare the soil. And so what does that mean for us spiritually? Well, you'll notice a pattern in all of these. I'll talk about the farming analogy and then apply it spiritually. Just as wheat needs to be prepared in a balanced soil, so too a believer's heart, the soil of our heart, needs to be prepared. It needs to be tilled up and broken up. And friends, that's not a comfortable thing, is it? We sang it last week, didn't we? Refiner's fire. It's not nice being in a fire, is it? We sing it like it's a nice thing, refiner's fire, I want to be holy. But actually, it's a process which is kind of hard to get to. Because to get the gold to be purified, it's got to be fired up. And that's painful. It means to prepare the soil of our hearts, we've got to clear out the junk. The junk of our heart. All those fleshly ways of living, all those worldly ways of thinking, we've got to get rid of them. All those evil thoughts of the enemy, we've got to clear that junk out. And I don't have to tell you much about this because I talk about it all the time. Confession and repentance. And I don't need to tell you how to do that because you know how to do it, I hope. And if you're not doing it every day, because it is a daily thing, then you need to go back to the top and prepare your heart. And there's an opportunity to clear out the junk for us. We've got it on the 10th of October when John and Mary and friends come and lead a Wholeness Through Christ Day. It's an opportunity for confession and repentance. To lay your heart before God and say, the soil of my heart's not ready to receive the kingdom, God. I want it to be. And there's an opportunity to talk to Jesus and get our hearts prepared for the kingdom. So we've got to prepare the soil. This is part of having a kingdom mindset. Prepare the soil. The second thing, we've got to receive the seed. You say, well, Ian, that's a bit obvious, isn't it? Of course you've got to receive the seed. Yeah, but going back to the parable of the sower and the four different types of hearts, the world, the flesh and the devil, the enemies, you know, you can have, you know, if you've got any of those in there, you're not going to receive it readily. And there are lots of ways in which seed can be sown. All kinds of ways. You've got the mechanical way with the big tractor there. You've got the hand way in nice rows. You've got the single seed which gets planted. And then there's the scatter method. You've got all kinds of ways you can sow seed. And they think for wheat, scattering it is quite good, but you've got to be quite adept at scattering it properly because you could be uneven. You want it to be nice and even. But no matter how the seed is sown, the point is, if the ground's been prepared, it's going to receive it and the seed's going to have a chance to grow. And how does that translate into our lives spiritually? The seed of the kingdom might look a bit different to what we're expecting, but a heart that's ready for it is going to receive it willingly, no matter what it might look like, or no matter how it might feel. And I guess what I'm talking about here, just to put it out in the open, is stubbornness. Stubbornness. Well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. Stubbornness. It's not a nice quality in anyone, really. And it's definitely not a nice quality in Christians, in believers, so-called followers of Jesus. And this is what I'm talking about receiving the seed. When the kingdom of God comes, in whatever form that be that in a spoken word, in a prophetic word, in a demonstration through a miracle, you've got to receive it somehow. And I'm not just talking about stubbornness, there's also the fear of doing something different. Why does it always have to be the same? It doesn't. And the kingdom of God is always moving and shifting and going forward. And it doesn't have to be the same all the time. We don't have to do the same things we've done for the last 50 years. I'm giving you permission to do something new. Because that's what God's doing. Because fear stops. A heart that's ready to receive the seed of the kingdom will do so with joy. And that means when something new comes along, for example, and it is of God's kingdom, we'll readily receive it and rejoice in it. More than that, it'll be invested in and it'll become a blessing to the world. You see, on the negative side, people that aren't ready for the kingdom will be suspicious. Well, I don't like that. Oh, I'm not comfortable with that. And they'll be more fearful. And friends, when our actions as believers are governed by suspicion and fear, what does that say about us? In whom do we trust? God of the universe. And if we're governed by suspicion and fear, it means our hearts are not trusting in God. And there's something wrong. And whatever this new thing God's doing will be less likely to be received. Take an example. Say somebody comes in here and they're a bit inebriated and they stink of alcohol and cigarettes. Say they've got unusual hair and leather jackets and piercings all the way up their ear and down their arm and all the rest of it. Now, I'm not saying we got people like that in Westbury, but say they did. I'm thinking about the people that Jesus hung out with. I read this morning in Matthew chapter 9 about Jesus calling a tax collector. Do you realize tax collectors were the lowest of the low, the most despised members of society? Nobody wanted to be seen dead with a tax collector, just as nobody wants to be seen dead with a migrant. Or a refugee, as the language suddenly changed. Did you notice that? How as soon as we saw the picture of the little boy that had died in the sea, it changed from migrant to refugee? What if somebody came in here? What if one of those refugees came in here today? I'm not asking how you would treat them physically. I'm asking you about the state of your heart before God. What would your heart say? What would inside say? Oh, they're a bit ill-kept. What are they doing here? We don't want them here. Get them out. What's the point of them coming over here? What would your heart say? What would your heart say if they came in? We have Messy Church every month. And you know, there were people that came into Messy Church and they smelt of smoke and booze. I love it. I think it's brilliant. That's what church should smell like. We should have all the drunks. We should have all the smokers. We should have all the druggies. Why? Because their hearts are ready to receive the kingdom. And because they know it. And friends, we need to know that we need the kingdom. That we need the power of God. We're too busy being in our nice churchy middle class environment to forget that we actually need the kingdom of God. What does your heart say? Do you receive it? And the second thing, let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. Anyway, it always comes to my mind every time I see it. Oh, I didn't do the PowerPoint, sorry. Jesus' parable says that the seed grows. So the soil's been prepared, the seed's been planted, and then it grows. It's a process, and it has to go through. This is wheat again, by the way. I really appreciate the internet for pictures. So that's the stages of wheat, and the way it grows. And we sang about it in the hymn as well. Spiritually speaking, a kingdom mindset is one that allows the kingdom to grow in our hearts. So a mindset of the kingdom is one that allows the kingdom to grow in the heart. When we're confronted with the reality of the kingdom, our heart responds to it. Can't help it. Has to do something about it. It allows that word, that seed of the kingdom, it allows it to challenge us, to change us, and to stretch us in different ways. Perhaps ways that we didn't even imagine. If you'd have told me 15 years ago, when I was... Eh? 15. Totally lost me. If you told me 15 years ago, when I was about 17 years old, and choosing where I was about to do for my life, if you'd have told me 15 years ago that I would be in this place preaching, doing this, I would have said, you're having a laugh. No way. I was going to go and be a musician somewhere. I was going to be in a city. As it happens, I really don't like being in cities, so it's just as well, isn't it? But you see, the kingdom of God came to me. And I understood something of it. My heart responded. And I made a decision to do what God wanted to do, not what I wanted to do. And you ask any ministers that have been working before they became ministers, and they say, yeah, I gave it up. I've got a friend who's in Bristol. And she should be a consultant, renal consultant in a hospital somewhere, earning thousands and thousands of pounds. Instead, she did a PhD in theology and became a minister. So that's a funny one. Didn't stop her achieving. But she's not doing what she originally thought she would be doing at this stage in her life. We've all sacrificed something for the kingdom of God. But it's not a sacrifice that's hard to make, because you know God wants you to do it, so you do it. A heart that wants the kingdom to grow will respond to the call of mission with eagerness. Yes, there's going to be a little bit of trepidation and kind of, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen here. That's the enemy telling us lies. And there's a famous healing evangelist who goes around and he says, every time I go out to pray for people in the public sphere, there's a shiver that sends down my spine of fear. And he says, I know that's not me, because I love to pray with people and talk with people. I know it's the enemy. It's the enemy's fear taking hold of me. Friends, If we are going to let it grow, we've got to say, okay, there might be a bit of fear there, but that's not my fear. That's the enemy's fear. He's putting that fear on me because he doesn't want the kingdom of God to come. Because he knows that the more the kingdom of God advances on the earth now, the less and less his kingdom has anything to do. It means he's got to work that much more harder to let the kingdom of darkness grow. But he can't. There's nothing he can do to stop the kingdom of God advancing. But a heart that allows the kingdom to grow responds to the call to mission with eagerness. Because the seed is rooted in us and we'll do it. And as a result, we grow in our faith. It's a process. Can you see that importance of growth in a believer's life? Without it, nothing happens. It's like a fallow field with nothing planted in it. And nothing happens. It's just nice soil. Oh, it's a nice field. There's nothing in it, though. It's not fruitful. It's not a fruitful field. It's just a field. We've got to grow. And so my challenge, or my question for you, it's not really a challenge, it's a question. When something comes along that's an opportunity, but actually it's a little bit scary and you're kind of thinking, ooh, I'm not sure I can do this, God, how do you respond? Do you say, oh, well, I've never done that before, I'm not going to start, I'm never going to change, forget it? Is that how you respond? Or are you prepared to allow the process of growth to happen in you? Are you going to allow for this process? And notice, it starts really small. We can't do the big stuff with the big grain wheat until we start small. And that might be this: smiling to somebody as you walk down the road. The number of people I see with grumpy faces, I can't bear it. I'm like, you try and say hello to them and they're like, not looking at you. I can't bear it. Nobody wants to say hello anymore. Okay, you might not be having the best day, but a smile don't cost anything. It doesn't cost you anything. Start small and allow it to grow. And if we're not prepared to allow this process of growth, I say we go back to the beginning and start preparing the soil. And the fear issue, well, we can deal with fear because perfect love casts out fear. And if we're receiving the kingdom, we're receiving the love of the Father, who is the perfect Father, and fear has no hold on us anymore. We can break the cycle of that. That's the easiest thing to get rid of in the world. But here's the thing. I cannot cast out your stubbornness. I can't do that. There's nobody in the world and get rid of stubbornness but you. And that's a decision you have to make. I'm not going to be stubborn anymore. I'm going to be open-minded. Even so-called progressives can be stubborn. They can be stubborn in the necessity they feel to be progressive. So it comes to all of us, not just people who I might think are stuck in the mud, for example. And so we come to the last thing that happens. We've gone through a process of growth, been harvested. What happens? We sow more seed. Obviously, it's what you do. You reap the harvest and then you do it all again next year. Wheat can be planted in the spring or the winter. I think the best wheat is planted in the, not the winter, well, yeah, they call it winter wheat. It's planted in the October before the frost comes. What happens is the seed gets frozen in the frost, and then when it thaws out, it begins to grow later on in the year. It's brilliant. Very clever. We harvest the fruit, but what happens? We sow more seed. Here's the thing. Out of the fruitfulness of your growth spiritually, so taking a chance and smiling at somebody and then that growing in your heart to then eventually see somebody come to faith, you're in a position to see others grow as well. I just want to impress this point upon you very, very firmly, if I can. This is not a one-man ministry. This is not me planting a load of seeds and hoping that they'll grow and having to do all the work of cultivation. I cannot do that. In fact, I refuse to do that. I'm not here to plant a whole bunch of seeds and hope that somehow, by the grace of God, they're going to grow. That would work, and it has worked in the past, but this culture that we live in doesn't work like that. The soil of people's hearts needs a lot more preparation, and it needs you and me together to be open to doing that. Each of us individually has got to be growing so that we all produce some kind of fruit, so that we have the ability to sow seeds into other people's lives. That's what a kingdom mindset is all about. I've heard this explained to me a few times. I've heard this said. Do you know each one of you who've got the Spirit of God living inside you? Each one of you who've got the Spirit, you have the potential to change the world. Just inside of you, one person has the potential to completely change the world. You have the potential to see thousands of people come to faith. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you have that confidence in the gospel of God, in the seed of the word of kingdom? That you can bring thousands of people to faith. It's the spiritual grandparent effect. It's brilliant. Works like this. One person takes three people and sows into them. Sows the fruitfulness of their life into those three people. And then look, each of those three people takes three people. And it's called multiplication. Jesus, when God created the earth, what did he say? Go into all the world and add. Add to all the people in the world. Did he say that to creation when he created it? No. What did he say? Multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Friends, if we're not multiplying, we're not doing our job. Adding one or two here and there. And by that I'm saying, we often think of, oh, new people have come to church. Oh, well, we've added to our number. That's wrong. That's the wrong mentality. We've got to think multiplication. How do we multiply our numbers? It only works if you take people and invest in them. Because when you invest in them and they see the fruitfulness of your life, they're more inclined to do the same thing. And they'll start investing. You train them. That's a simple training. I disciple a few people, and they're fruitful, and they get some people, and they do the same thing. This is a kingdom mindset. Growth upon growth upon growth. And so my last words to you is, go forth and multiply. Don't be content with addition. Be discontent with addition. And begin to make steps to multiply. Amen? Let's pray together.